Royal Credit Union Smart Checking Accounts offer no monthly fees and no minimum balance. Make the switch to a Royal Checking Account and you'll also get real-time transaction alerts, free mobile check deposits, and surcharge-free access to over 40,000 ATMs across the U.S. Enjoy financial freedom with no minimum balance and no monthly fees when you switch to Royal Smart Checking Account. Learn more and open your Royal Credit Union Smart Checking Account online at rcu.org/gochecking. Insured by NCUA.
Be aggressive. John Hines has got some balls and teaches us all about some unknown NHL rules as he goes for two and the Wild continue to go for the playoffs, now just 6 points back from a wildcard spot with less than 20 games to go. Plus, PWHL Grace Zumwinkel joins as Minnesota nears the end of its regular season with some fun rule changes of their own heading into playoffs. As always, we're created by New Voice Studios, brought to you by SodaSick, presented by Talk North, Greenbelt, Livia, Royal Credit Union, and Jim Beam. This is Season 5, Episode 219. New drop alert. The Minnesota Wild celebrate and honor Marc-Andre Fleury's 1,000th game, and you can get in on the memorabilia action with an all-new exclusive SodaStick and Hockey Lodge t-shirt and hat drop. Grab your piece of history with a one-of-a-kind hat or tee that commemorates one of the greatest attendees in Wild and NHL history. Don't miss out on this fantastic collaboration between SodaStick and the Hockey Lodge. At Jim Beam, they know the importance of tradition, like chanting, "Let's play hockey" prior to the start of each game, or playing the State of Hockey anthem after a Wild win. This season, raise one to your fan family with a bourbon that invites us all to come as friends and leave as family. Jim Beam Bourbon Whiskey, the official bourbon whiskey partner of the Minnesota Wild and XL Energy Center. Drink smart. Jim Beam Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey. 40% alcohol by volume. Copyright 2021. James B. Beam Distilling Company, Incorporated, Claremont, Kentucky.
Hello, everybody. What's up? We're back. Bar Down Beauties episode 719. I don't know where that came.
We get an extra 500 episodes?
I like the sound of it. I have no idea. I don't even know. I have nothing to back myself up on that. It's been a weekend, Kirsten.
It really has. Daylight savings. I just want to rant. Yeah. It needs to be done. It needs to go. It ruined my morning yesterday, but it made my night once the sun was still out as I was leaving. But ruined my morning entirely.
I have a love-hate relationship with it because I do love having the sun up in the morning too, right? Like, it helps me get going. It's hard to like get up when it's just pitch black, but it was like there was something to be said about leaving the rink at 7 p.m. yesterday following a Minnesota Wild win and it was still sunny outside. I was like, okay, this is nice. It's a good reminder that like, all right, we're heading into spring. Soon our days are going to be filled with grilling and bonfires, drinks till 9 p.m. out on a patio.
Shameless plug, you need to buy a Hatch, not a sponsor of the podcast, but it has that like, it's that alarm clock with the morning sunrise. You need to buy that.
Oh, yeah.
And then you have for artificial sun.
We have something like that for the boys, for the kids in their room, because it's trying to teach them. You don't wake up at 5 a.m. when it is pitch black. It doesn't work right now because they don't give an F, but that's just how that goes.
You got to treat yourself. And I know I'm going to screw myself over. My patio furniture came in the mail a couple days ago and it's out. I'm putting out the rest of my patio stuff, like my rug, my spring sign. Yeah. It might snow again, but my patio furniture is going to be out. I would like to enjoy just like a margarita after a long day out on my patio. Yes.
It's gonna be like 62. I might hit the golf course this afternoon with my brother. Ooh, Mulligan Mondays might be coming back in March.
We're
cooking. Again, Bar Down Beauties episode 219. To clarify, I'm Jesse Pierce, writer for NHL.com. She's Kirsten Kroll, in-house arena for a number of teams. I'm not even going to say just the Minnesota Wild. You were at WCHA this weekend, running your mouth in the best way possible.
Running your mouth.
I mean, that's what you kind of, you know, it's just talking and smiling and kissing babies and shaking hands and playing
pet
games.
Puppies, which I legitimately do pet puppies at work.
You haven't done it nearly as much this season, though.
I haven't done it once on the video board. Rumor it's coming back. Stay tuned. My people would like a word with the people who make that happen, aka my boss. So yeah, let's put that out there. Balls in your court, Mark. Also, I mean, there's like Hattie and stuff who come around the rink, but then it's just hard sometimes because sometimes you can't pet the dogs that you want to pet because they're working.
I know. We're all busy. We're all busy in March Madness. You're also working PWHL. We have Grace Zumwinkel joining us. A ton of fun. We talk a little golf, Grace. This is our second plea. We'd love to golf with you. Just throwing that out there. So we're going to make some content doing that. While you are at WCHA, we had a booth over at Let's Play Hockey. Shout out to everybody that stopped by. So much fun. We tapped into Kirsten's Swifty idea with the bracelets, which was a huge hit. You didn't warn me what a pain in the ass it is to make those bracelets, however. But I like the switch up we made. Instead of just, we handed out baggies of different bracelets, which saved my fingers and frustration and seemed to go over well.
They are not for the weak. I'm just saying. No. They're not.
No.
I'm still waiting. I loved for it. You to make me a friendship bracelet. But
need a friendship bracelet. Yeah. It's come. I still need one for myself. Like another one. I know you handed me the one yesterday. But yeah, we're on it. We're gonna make that part of the stuff because we ran out of pins too. Again, shout out to everybody. Shout out to Let's Play Hockey for including us as always. And to all the friends we made along the way. Howie's Tape and different hockey schools. I know the Hockey Day Minnesota Shakopee came over and said they want us to be a little bit heavily involved this year. So that sounds like fun. So stay tuned for more of that. I know, right? But before we get to Grace and before we switch gears and talk PWHL Minnesota, again, thank you to Natalie Darwitz, who also stopped by the booth to chat with us about the team. Kirsten, Minnesota Wild, 6 points out now. They are the next team up in line for that second wild card spot, trailing Nashville, who holds the number one wild card from the West, and Vegas, who holds the number two. They did so in insane fashion. Again, so this is another day where we're recording immediately following a Minnesota Wild win, a dramatic Minnesota Wild win, which seems to be our lot. Dramatic because, Kirsten, and this is a rule that none of us knew. Marc-Andre Fleury didn't know it. Matt Boldy didn't know it postgame. In overtime, since 3-on-3 has been implemented, in order to obviously negate teams from trying to pull their goalie in OT and go 4-on-3 and have a better shot of scoring, unless there's a delayed penalty. Your goalie can leave the ice if there is a delayed penalty. Other than that, if you do so and the opposition scores into the empty net, you forfeit your extra point that is earned in overtime. So the Minnesota Wild, ballsy, gutsy call from John Hines. He decides, you know what? We're going to pull Marc-Andre Fleury because we like our power play. We like having those four guys out there. We might lose a point or we might get 2 points. What did they do, Kirsten? Bang. Matt Boldy, one-timer, gorgeous goal. They get the extra 2 points. John Hines explained post-game, we don't need one, we need two, which he is right. How did you feel about that move? How did you feel about the rule in general? I mean, obviously, it makes sense. Ryan Hartman told us, who Ryan Hartman knew all about this, by the way. He said he's been joking about it.
I don't know why, but like, he seems like a guy who would just like sit at home with a rule book and just like study it so he knows everything. Like, whether it's to stay out of the box or not, like he took that personally in the off season to really study up. He just, of course he did. Of course
he was like, he's like, I actually joked about this at the beginning of the year because 3-on-3s become kind of boring and stale and defenses have learned how to play against it and everybody plays a little bit more conservative. Even Ryan O'Reilly yesterday in postgame, I asked him, I said, you know, what did you think about that move? Have you ever seen it? And he's like, no. And I maybe a long time ago, right? ROR being in it. But he's like, we were trying to get to the shootout. We trusted ourselves in the shootout, right? So, I mean, you probably have that factor in too, where teams that are strong in the shootout are like, all right, let's just buy him out. We don't need to necessarily go down and try to score. Let's just do that. So, huge call. Did you like it? I mean, I freaking love the aggression.
I have a lot to unpack here. Yes. First off, I was on the edge of my seat. I was incredibly stressed once the last minute of regulation in overtime, I literally like was chewing on my nails and I don't do that. I was stressed.
Yeah.
Also, I'd like to point out, and we can talk about this later, whatnot, the dynamic between John Hines and Matt Boldy. I just think that relationship works so well. We've seen so many good things come from those two since Hines took over. So I love to see that. I think this team really wanted to give John Hines a win against his former team in the Nashville Predators. And I bet your ass John Hines also was like, we need to beat these guys because they did not the last time. It was kind of his first, one of his first games playing Nashville. Had to be upsetting for him on a personal note. And maybe he had that as like a vendetta, like we need to beat this team. Loved the way he did it in the fashion. That is the kind of aggression I want to see more, especially right now when the Wild are on the outside looking in, still trying to squeeze into the playoffs. You don't need 1 point. That's going to get you nowhere. Just making it to overtime, you don't get a participation trophy for that. You need 2 points. So when I saw Fleury heading to the bench, they brought out the extra man. I was like just shocked because you don't see that. But also right? I loved it. I loved it. Those are more of the aggressive plays that I want to see. And I just absolutely love Hines did that.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny. They're doing kind of what we predicted they would do. Here they come again. Here we go.
I mean, when their backs are against the wall, they play their best hockey.
They do. And it's the strategy makes sense, I guess, right? Like they talked about it at the end of regulation. Like, okay, here's what we're going to do. We're not going to play, obviously, the full 5 minutes with Fleury to the bench. But they were waiting. They were just waiting to buy their time. Like, okay, let's go. We'll get down to the last 2 minutes and give it a shot. I mean, it's the back and forth, right? Like, sure, you'd get 0 points, but 1 point would have helped too. I mean, frankly, like if that situation had turned the opposite way, Vegas is idle right now. So it's like, you would have still gained momentum. You still would have gotten that, but I love it probably because it worked out, right? Like that's probably the end all be all, like, all right, it worked out. Plus you get to get a little recognition for the Minnesota Wild. Everybody on Twitter, hockey Twitter yesterday was like, holy cow, they did this. Everybody got educated. I took a peek, Kirsten, at a couple other fun, different rules that maybe we don't think of. Like, did you know goalies must use white tape on their stick?
Oh, so the refs can see the puck better?
Yes, to give the ref or the goal judge a clear, unobstructed view of where the puck is. That one kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
If no refs or linesmen are able to officiate, players can take over.
Love. I would love to see that.
I had to find out more. So here is the official rule. Another rule that is officially in the NHL rulebook, the exact wording states that if through misadventure or sickness, the referees and linesmen appointed are prevented from appearing, the league will make every attempt to find suitable replacement officials. Otherwise, the manager or coaches of the two clubs shall agree on referees and linesmen. This is a long way of saying that there are no officials and the league cannot find anybody, but players from each side will have to officiate their own game. That feels like some straight up like pond hockey and street hockey.
Love, would love to see that.
Right.
I'm not saying I'm going to sabotage all of the referees that could potentially, you know, work, but I'm not saying that it's not a possibility.
That's true. Did you also know, and this happens every now and then, and I think I've seen it maybe once this year, but if a player has the puck while a teammate is in the offensive zone and the puck carrier disengages with the puck before crossing the blue line, enters the zone and re-engages after his teammate leaves the zone, it is not offside. So maybe that would help when other teams are challenging offside. You could be like, well, no, there was disengagement and re-engagement. It's a lot of movement. Even the wording didn't make sense to me.
You kind of lost me there too.
I did. It was a more a technicality one, right? So let us know if you have heard any other rules that are misallowed. Again, last time that this has happened where a team was victorious in pulling their goalie in overtime was the Los Angeles Kings against the Boston Bruins in 2017. So it's not something you're going to see very often. Obviously, it makes more sense to do it now. The weird thing was that the Kings did that against Boston in like October, like where you really don't need the points or not at a premium, right? Like it seems a little odd.
I also would like to say, even if it didn't work out for the Wild, I personally still would have loved it that they even gave it a shot.
Yeah, right.
I would have loved it. And especially early in the season, frick, do it in preseason. Like, I don't care when. I love it.
Versus just every game. We're pulling the goalie for every
season. Why not? Start of the third period, pull the goalie.
And then just assign, like, John Merrill to be your fake goalie.
Or me. Like I could John be Merrill, a decoy.
John Merrill, you just stand back there. You just stay back there and body him.
I'm rooting for our Johnny boy. I think he's upped his game a lot.
No, he has. He's been deserving. Dakota Mermis obviously being the odd man out as a result. So, I mean, that says a little something. I know a lot of you guys were surprised and a little bit humored by the fact that we changed our tone, but credit where credit's due, right? You play better. What? We like you. We talk nicely about you. That's all it takes.
I'm going to say people that are still giving him a super hard time or even were criticizing us for like recognizing he's been playing better. Literally stop. Like you're annoying.
Yeah. Speaking of, and I've mentioned this before, John Merrill, a fantastic human being, has nothing to do with his play off the ice. Pride night coming up tomorrow night at for the Minnesota Wild home game. He's obviously a very dedicated member of that community, very active in it. He's been an official, actually, ironically, did you know he was an official in an LGBTQ plus game like this summer, I think I saw. Like,
was
no,
he?
To no fanfare. Yeah, just because he's a true advocate, right? He's like a true friend of the community. I love that for him too. Like, he didn't, I think somebody had tweeted about it and I briefly saw it and I was like, God, good for him. And I know I spoke with him last year about it and he is. It's something he definitely doesn't do to like promote, you know, he doesn't want to promote that he's so active because he doesn't feel like he needs those accolades. It's just something that's near and dear to his heart. So we love that for him.
Absolutely. Great cause. I love seeing players also too just get involved in causes off the ice too. Just at things they're super passionate about. I love it.
Right. And there's so many of them, right, that you don't know about. Like, certainly there are ones that we give the accolades to, and deservedly so, but there are so many that are just not. Another one that comes to mind, John Tortorella, very active in the rescue animals. I know that one's been prominently
I had
about,
no idea. Like,
really?
That is my number one cause. I had no idea. So that just, like, literally took my love and respect for him to a whole new level.
Where
that
is
made
the
me
respect?
Morning.
How is this for a segue? I'm proud of my segue here. This was a good transition because we wanted to talk about it because we need to talk about it. We talked about aggressiveness and things that we love. John Tortorella refusing to leave the bench as Wes McCauley ejects him in what turned out to be a 7-rip loss for the Philadelphia Flyers to the Tampa Bay Lightning the other night. Absolutely legendary. It was a scene from Wolf of Wall Street where it's like, I'm not effing leaving. No, F you, I'm not leaving. And he just stood on the bench, like, not quite like a toddler response, similar, but it was just, I love the outburst. I love the legendary status. I'm sure, obviously, the league less pleased. He did end up with now a 2-game suspension and a $50,000 fine. But God, man, Torts is going to Torts, you know?
Torts is the man. Torts is going to do what he wants to do. I love it. I love it. And you know your organization also loves and respects you when they say they're going to pay it. Like, when they are going to pay a hefty fine like that, you know you are well respected within that organization. Honestly, if I were a hockey coach, I would hope that I would have the audacity that Torts does.
I would leave. I would do as I was told, but I would die. You know, I know you wouldn't. This is why, see, I would take over for you. You could be the head and I'll be the assistant. I'll be like, all right, I'll come in now. I'll man the game. You need to go down that tunnel. You need to relax. But I do. I love the attitude.
I feel like that would get me more amped up though. I really do. Mm-hmm.
Somebody joked then. So he, you know, that's been well documented, his kind of, I don't want to say disdain, but for younger players, right? And Bobby Brink is kind of that one player this year that's on his shit list, if you will. And somebody was like, ask him about Bobby Brink post game now, and they're like, tonight's not probably the night to do it, because he was a little fired up. Switching gears back to the Minnesota Wild, Kirsten, it's another game, another day we get to talk about your favorite Joel Eriksson Ek. Again, just another incredible year. He continues his dominance. He continues to be effective, continues to stay healthy too. Like, I was thinking about it, like, he is one of the very few players this year that hasn't been bitten by the injury bug, even with the way that he plays. I'm just so incredibly, just another round of applause for Joel, who continues to improve on his career year.
I just don't know what to even say about him anymore. Like,
I know.
He is on his redemption tour. He's starting to get the recognition that he has so heavily deserved. Like, and people are recognizing him as, like, I was at work one day and the TVs were on and it was Bally Sports North and they were saying how irreplaceable Joel Eriksson Ek is on this team. And it's true. Like, I mean, you don't ever want to lose a Kirill Kaprizov in the lineup. But there are other players who can really kind of step up a few games and really try to take over that offensive surge that he can produce. But as far as, like, if Jules out for a stretch, that is so much harder to replace.
Right.
So he just, all the good things in the world to him. He deserves it. I just respect him so much for a man I've never spoken to once.
I mean, he doesn't speak much back, so you're not missing out. On too
I
much
feel
of
like
that,
he's
but it
probably
is
probably really funny. He just gives me the vibe like he's hilarious,
probably in like his own unique way, right? Like, I personally, I am very much Maybe he is kind of the sarcastic drop. I don't feel like he's the sarcastic drop.
I
feel like he is.
I don't know. I have all these assumptions of who he is in my head because, like I said, I've never talked to him. And I just feel like he's amazing.
I mean, only one way to find out. We're going to go hang out with Jewel. We could. Maybe he'll golf with us.
We're getting him on the. Yes. Can you imagine? You think he's good at golf?
No, he's not. I don't think he's bad. He's not terrible, but he's not good.
So me and him like, can go on the Bev cart and just get the drinks for everybody.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah,
we'll provide the vibes.
Right. Like, you want golfers, as we know, we've talked about it, Matt Boldy, Ryan Hartman. Those are the two guys that you for sure want. Those are the golfers. And obviously Vinny, I don't think, was here when they did their... Oh, he might have been. I feel like Vinny Letary's got to be decent at golf. He seems like a guy that's hitting the golf course a lot.
Yeah, I could see that. I definitely could.
Right? Marcus might not be terrible.
I feel he probably is not good.
Probably a little too tough on the
ball. Probably spends all his time on the lake fishing, from what I have heard.
Does like that. He does enjoy his Canadian summers. Back to Jewel for a moment. I mean, he's done everything just to continually improve, right? So let's look at the past three seasons. In 2021-22, 77 games, he had 49 points, 26 goals, 23 assists. The following year, last year, through 78 games, 61 points, 23 goals, 38 assists. Now through 65 games this year, he's got 60 points already, 29 goals, 31 assists, a plus 16. And his ice time is up to 20 minutes and 44 seconds on average. So everything you love to see. Again, just a reminder that sometimes you need a little patience. You got to let these guys continue to grow into their game. Jewel has done just that. And
give him the keys to the city.
That's the one we're giving the keys to the city to before Kirill.
Kirill already has them. Like, he can go anywhere he wants.
He's got the backdoor ones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's fair. That sounded weird.
Like, I don't know. Yeah. It did. I don't know. Give him the garage door opener. I don't know. Give him something.
I like this. That sounds fun. Let's definitely do that. You know, another player I wanted to talk about too, since we kind of touched on it. Nothing unexpected for the trade deadlines. I haven't noticed a change for better or for worse, obviously, in this team since losing Connor Dewar, Brandon Duhame, and Pat Maroon. How do you feel in general about the trade since we didn't get to get your reaction? Didn't get a chance to catch up because, like I said, I didn't feel it was necessary. But now that we're here, what are your thoughts?
I kind of forgot Pat Maroon was on our team, to be honest, because of his injury and being out for so long. So I was just kind of, I saw that and I was like, huh. Thanks, mm-hmm. Pat. Like, it was short-lived, wasn't here for a long time, but was here for a good time. I don't know. Like, thank you. The Deweys, that one stung from the sense that, like, they brought a fun dynamic to the team. They both, together and separately, brought a lot of fun. And I feel Billy was emotional about that more than probably anybody. It sounded like, especially from, I think it was Russo's Twitter, like he had talked to Duhame numerous times throughout that process. And like, even in his press conference too, he seemed bummed that he had to let them go. And honestly, I was a little surprised on that end too, because I guess I really haven't kind of seen that emotion from Bill Guerin in the sense of having to get rid of players. So that seemed a little more personal to him, is the vibe that I got, but not surprising either way.
It's funny, I guess, thinking about that, I've seen it with Matt Dumba, right? Like, that was a guy that Bill Guerin obviously loved and knew they weren't. I didn't see it with Kevin Fiala, however, right? And no. I don't know. Yeah, that's maybe a little telling now that you mention it, right? Like, not to say he was crass about it, but it was much more abrupt. There was an abruptness to it, like, well, that's what where we're at, right? So I
didn't,
you know, that
see,
might
didn't
be telling.
See it with Cam Talbot either.
Did not see the no, you didn't, did not at all. That's tough. My favorite thing from the trades, if I were to say so myself, and again this was said to Michael Russo, was Connor Dewar's quote. Did you see it? It was, every Dew has his day.
I sent that to you.
Did you? Yeah, maybe.
Yes, I texted it to you because I literally rolled on the floor laughing. God. Oh my, that was hilarious.
Especially from Connor Dewar, who doesn't really, you know, he didn't really speak a whole lot to us. We didn't really seek him out, right? He's a bottom six forward. And he was just such a quiet guy that it was kind of like, well, we're not going to go to him for too many quotes. But I love that. I love it so much.
I want it on a t-shirt. Every dude has their day. And then I want the dates of when they played for Minnesota. Like below.
And just like a black and white.
Make it happen. Soda stick idea.
A black and white picture of the two of them, right? Together. Like, or I feel like it's almost like something that could be made into like in a memoriam video where you have like Sarah McLachlan playing in the background, like in the arms of.
Instead of a welcome back tribute video, can we do that instead for both of them?
Oh, so incredible. You know, speaking kind of Players on the Move, and since we mentioned Matt Dumba, I am a little amazed how low Matt Dumba went for on the trade block. Arizona obviously dealing him and dealing Jason Zucker, who Minnesota saw last night when the Nashville Predators in town, as that's his new team. But it was Matt Dumba and like another pick for a 2027 fifth rounder. Like, does that surprise you at all? I mean, it's the whole thing has been kind of weird, right? Like, Dumba didn't get signed until August, right? It took a while for teams, and not that he got paid even a heck of a whole lot. It just kind of has that feeling that, you know what? You might see Matt Dumba back in Minnesota because he might be willing to take a league minimum to return.
I could see that at this point. I definitely could. I thought it was a little weird. I guess I didn't really consider Matt Dumba to even be a player on the trading block.
Yeah.
But I feel Arizona, after they had that little bit of promise to start the year in the standings when they were doing so much better than everyone thought they would, I think now they've kind of waved the white flag and just kind of canned the whole entire team.
Arizona to Arizona.
But I love that Matt Dumba has a, I don't know, he seems like he's just, there's pictures of him in his Tampa Bay jersey, which is really weird to see personally.
Yes.
But he was all smiles. So I don't know. Seems like he's happy
weird.
Tampa for the moment.
And again, like we discussed last week, and I apologize. I suppose I haven't even seen where Tampa's at in the standings, but I assume they're probably faring pretty well. Because it's like anytime most trades, you're going to go to a better team, especially if you were on a team that was struggling, right? So it's not a situation that you should be necessarily unhappy in. You know, like, oh, poor Brandon Duhaime, you get to go play for the Colorado Avalanche. Like, okay, and Connor Dewar, you're going to go play for the Toronto Maple Leafs. Like, worst teams to go to. You know, you're not getting traded to San Jose. So,
sorry, Kalen.
Sorry, Kalen. Before we wrap this segment up and get to Grace Zumwinkle and switch gears to PWHL Minnesota, let's take a look at our wild week ahead. We've got the Arizona Coyotes at home tomorrow on Tuesday. They got the Anaheim Ducks on Thursday. Shout out John Gibson. I love you. And the St. Louis Blues on the road Saturday. What do you got for these three games, Kirsten?
Hold on. It was Anaheim, St. Louis. What was the other one that they're playing?
Arizona, Anaheim, St. Louis.
Sweep, baby. We're getting a sweep.
Ooh.
Yeah. The way also the Wild played against St. Louis the last time, they're coming. They've got numbers. They've got names. I predicted that would happen when they really had that tough stretch against St. Louis and Nashville. And obviously, we know what happened. They dropped both. Maybe I predicted it a little too early, but no, they're coming. They're coming, guys.
Okay. I like it. We're back on the train a little bit. Right now, Minnesota
ahead. I never got off the train.
I feel like you did. See, now we're going to go. I feel you said they weren't going to make the playoffs. You said they were never back.
No, I said, were they ever back? Yes, I did say that. But then last week you asked me you said, we're giving up now. We're giving up. And I said, I'm not ready to say that.
It's probably true.
Yeah.
See, this is what I talked about it all weekend at the expo too. It's like, it's that little flirting. It's like that, hey, you up text that they're sending back in. Like, okay, maybe I am up. Maybe we're in a situationship with the Minnesota Wild.
Yeah. See, and where I came from, where I was like, how could we be back if we were never there? We were never in a playoff spot.
That's true. You know what's silly, and I should know this. Have they been in a playoff spot early this year?
I don't think they have.
No, I'm going to have to look that up. If you guys know the answer, let me know, and I will look it up maybe before this is released, but I'm super curious about that.
I don't think they have been at all this season. Because we had Winnipeg, Arizona, like all of these teams,
all the hot teams fired off. Yeah, exactly. And they've performed well against Eastern Conference teams, but not really the West in general. So I gotta imagine. Right now, again, Minnesota 2 points up on the Blues. That's kind of the only threat right now. Anaheim Ducks have only 49 points, so Minnesota has a whopping 20-point lead on them, and Arizona's got 57 points. So take that for what it's worth. I'm going to say 2-0-1. I think it might be an OT loss to St. Louis. I think it's going to be a heck of a game. I hope it's a heck of a game. The fun thing is, again, this brings me back to like a couple seasons ago where it was always Minnesota and St. Louis. And it was like, you're seeing them a bunch at the end of the year. And there's the dramatics of like, okay, well, they win, they lose, all of that. 2-0-1. It's going to be an OTL just to be conservative. I like to play my game conservatively. One more thing, and I should have brought this up earlier. I apologize. We'll have updates on our social media. Murat Kuznetsov. God, I've gotten that name down too. I'm going to impress the heck out of him today. He is joining the team for practice. He is in Minnesota. 16 hours of flying, 3 different flights. He is here. Very, very possible you see him in the lineup against the Arizona Coyotes. Is he going to be everything he's cracked up to be? Now, again, beware. It's going to he's starting coming into a new team. Sure, there's the systems. First year in the NHL. What are your feelings on Murat Kuznetsov joining the squad?
It's tough to say. I'm going to keep my expectations low, but I'm very excited. There's been a lot of hype around his name. He's another name Wild fans have been dying to see, excited and waiting to see come up. So, I mean, there's just a lot of excitement right now, and I'm hoping he comes out hot.
Yeah. Who comes out of the lineup?
Lucchini? Probably.
Right, like if, but I know John Hines loves. Oh, Beckman, that's right. Yeah, probably Beckman. That's a good call. Probably Beckman. I totally, being completely honest with you, forgot Adam Beckman was playing. I didn't even pay attention to him last night. Not in a bad, like he didn't do anything terrible. The bottom six. I know Mike Russo had tweeted about this, how poor the bottom six has been performing as far as production wise. Like, it's been a very long time since they've contributed anything. But yeah, you're right. Probably Beckman. But I haven't. Yeah, he's been fine, I think.
I don't know. Probably.
I don't know. Right? Same. Like, I feel
I'm
bad.
I'm busy
like,
doing my nails on the edge of my stage because I don't sit. I don't have a seat. So
yeah, I just didn't pay much attention to him. So I don't know. We're going to switch gears, guys, and go talk PWHL Minnesota with Grace Zumwinkle and have a good conversation with her. Shout out to Joe Anderson of PWHL Minnesota for connecting us with her, as always. So stay tuned and listen to our check-in with Grace. Hey, guys. Jesse Pierce here for Livia Weight Control Centers. Who is ready to spring into the warm weather? It's been beautiful outside. I know I've been enjoying it. Hopefully you have too, and it's only going to get better. Spring ready the Livia way and lose up to 10 pounds in your first 2 weeks. When you join Livia, you'll receive a personalized and doctor recommended program tailored to your unique goals and lifestyle. Livia's amazing team of registered dietitians and nutritionists will guide you every step of the way, providing you with the tools, support, and motivation that you need to succeed. If you join Livia today, you can get 3 months absolutely free. I've started my journey a couple months ago and I have loved it. And you know what? There's a new option that you can also include with your nutritional program, and that's Livia Medical. I've been on Livia Medical for the past 2 weeks to help me break down those biological barriers that can make losing weight so hard. It's helped accelerate my weight loss. I have lost 4 pounds in just 2 weeks with the added Livia Medical to my nutritional program. It works for me. It certainly can work for you. Don't forget to get Livia a call at 855-GO-LIVIA or visit Livia.com. Again, first 3 months, absolutely free. Let them know Jesse Pierce and the Bar Down Beauty sent you. What's going on, everybody? We are back. Joining us now, PWHL Minnesota's and Minnesota's own Grace Zumwinkle. Grace, what's going on? How are we today?
We're doing well. Coming off a shootout win last night, so I think people are feeling pretty good right now.
I mean, it's been absolutely electric at the XL Energy Center from opening night on. Has anything really surprised you about PWHL in general and just your team and how everything's really seems to come together? And not to say that I think people were like wondering from afar, but there always is that question, right? Like, I think it's over exceeded any limitations that maybe were put on it.
Yeah, I think that's for sure. I think heading into the season, people are like, oh, maybe we'll get 1,000 fans at every game. And then like our first home game, we ended up getting 13,000 and change. And I think it's, like you said, just exceeded so many expectations. And I think that's the best way to go about it, not saying like the bar has been set high, but I think we've exceeded it in so many ways, and especially like the community outreach aspect of it. And the state of Minnesota certainly hasn't disappointed.
And being at the games too, different perspective from you guys, but kind of engaging with the fans and seeing all of the young girls, especially who are in the crowd cheering you guys on. As a player, what does that mean to you to see all of these young players hoping to be where you guys are at now someday?
Yeah, I think like we all talk about it on the team, and that's the coolest aspect of it is like when we were little kids, your parents maybe brought you to a Wild game or a Gopher game, and that's like the pinnacle of what you saw. And to now have a professional landscape that little girls can aspire to achieve one day, I think is the coolest part of the entire league.
You've checked off so many boxes already in your career. You got the Olympics, you've got gold medals, you've got the Gophers. What's been your favorite memory so far of hockey? Maybe there's even something youth-wise that you remember that's always stuck out, or where is it kind of all rank for you?
Yeah, I mean, you list off those accolades and they're all super special in their own ways, but I think one that maybe doesn't put an accolade is being able to play with both my sisters on various teams. And I got to play with my little sister at Minnesota and at BRAC, and then with my older sister a few years in high school. And I think that's more special to me than any award I've received. And it's something that's kept our bond as sisters close.
But you're the best, right? That's what you can tell them. Do you make sure, I mean, where's that ranking then? We got to go through that. We had Bryce Brodzinski on a couple weeks ago. So we went through the family dynamics there. The girls' household, it's got to be pretty similar.
Yeah, I mean, they both do have a little bragging power on me. They both won state championships and I never did. So they have that on me, but it's a family joke that we still banter about here and there.
I love that. It keeps things fun. Do you guys ever still get together, play, and just kind of how has that dynamic evolved too as you've gotten older?
Yeah, my older sister, she doesn't play anymore, but she still helps coach here and there. And then my little sister still plays at the Gophers. So we'll skate together from time to time and skate together in the summers. And that's always fun and keeps it enjoyable. And I mean, we're still so close off the ice that it's doesn't feel like it's second nature to us.
Well, mom and dad were athletes, collegiate athletes, right? Up St. Ben's and St. John's, respectively.
Yeah, my mom was a tennis player and my dad was a football player.
Nice. So rousing athletic. Is the competitive level too much or is that a healthy dose? Because I know personally I'm terrified for my children because I'm super competitive and my husband is too. And I already see those glimpses in board games like, oh, no, we need to pause that. Where's the competitive level in the Zumwinkle household?
I'm going to second that as well real quick.
I mean, when we play pickleball, there's someone that leaves pouting or upset. So everyone's very competitive. You mentioned the board games. People's finest is not always shown just with the competitiveness, especially with Scrabble. I'm like, that's not even a word. Like everyone just gets super uptight and competitive, but we all love each other at the end of the day.
This is going to be so random, but last night at the PWHL game during the intermission, we did inflatable musical chairs with this group of five women from the Women's Hockey Association of Minnesota. They were so, like, people in inflatable musical chairs on the ice, like, it's like next level competition, competitive. You just see kind of like a darker side of people come out. I just feel like I would love to see you and your family do that. I feel like it would
maybe
get
you
really
should
fun.
Pull my sisters out and make them do it in between the intermission sometime.
I'm gonna pitch this. Yes, this is gonna happen. I'm pitching
it. It has to happen. Has Scrabble been banned in your house? Like we can't play Uno. Like we've had to put Uno away at family holidays like once or twice because it's too much. It leads to too much. Nobody knows the rules. Nobody knows people are hiding cards. It's a little silly. Is Scrabble banned or you guys can work through that each year?
We've just like moved off from the conversation. Like it's just not brought up anymore. So I think I'm not saying it's banned, but we just don't play anymore.
That seems fair. That seems absolutely fair. I heard you were quite the golfer too. Tell us about your golf experience. That's the only thing Darwitz gave me was that you were really good at golf. Otherwise, she was very kind and like said you were all good with the community, which is fun. But we wanted the dirt. So golf is as close as we got.
Okay. I played in high school and then my family like plays it as a hobby. But I like to play. Like not always the best, but I do enjoy it. So... We love the charity golf events, though, because we get women's tees. So, like, if you have a long ball, we definitely benefit. So Kelly Panic, she's also a good golfer. So we play in some events together, and it's always fun because the teams that get us usually are happy.
Oh, Jesse, please take this as notes for the golf events we are doing this summer. We know who to ask.
Yep. Grace, you're on the hook now.
Please ask. I will come.
That would be great.
Okay, we're holding you to that. Me and Jesse can use anybody to make our game look better.
We contribute nothing. We drive the golf carts around and go get beer for people. So like I think that's valuable. It's a role play. You know, that's the role that we play. Which I think is fine.
We're good locker room personalities, but take that to the golf course.
So you're glue ladies, as they say. Mm.
Exactly. Somebody has to be. That's the role we're willing to play.
That's awesome.
You know, you need that. Everybody needs that. I forgot what I was going to say. Oh, Kelly Panic. You mentioned Kelly Panic. We had her on the pod not too long ago, and I asked her about the best dressed and worst dressed team. Now, there's a lot being made, a lot of hype about those walk-ins, right? And I know everybody has put together their best show. Who, in your opinion, is the best dressed for the walk-in, and who could use a little help?
On our team or across
on
the
your
league?
Team? Let's keep it local. Let's stick with PWH from Minnesota. Yeah.
That's a tough question. I think Taylor Heisey has definitely came out with some outfits. She was rocking the Caitlin Clark t-shirt last night, which fits her being from a basketball family. And worst dressed, I don't know, but we were chirping Sophia Shaver about we only win when she wears all black. So we've told her, like, you can only wear all black, but she's trying to break out of that shell. So I wouldn't say that's the worst dress, but she's stuck to a tighter closet.
It's funny because Kelly, I think, said she's like, Sophia will be the best dressed. And this was, I believe, preseason. I don't think games had even started yet. And she's like, but she'll only wear black. So that's whatever that is. So has this been a long thing for Sophia? We obviously need to get Sophia on to defend herself here. Mm-hmm.
I mean, she has great outfits, so it's not to say that. But she only gets chirped when she doesn't wear all black. So that's just what we expect from her now. Yeah. And people have given her a hard time that we only win when she does it. So I feel like she feels a little bit more compelled to only wear all black.
She has a reputation to uphold now. I'm curious too, when you guys are getting ready for game day, does it ever go through your mind like, what can I show out with today? Because I know the walk-ins have become a big deal.
Yeah.
Like style rankings too. Like I feel like that has transcended a little bit over into the women's game now. When you're getting ready, does that thought cross your mind?
I think sometimes. So Taylor Heisey and I are road roommates, and we're always like, oh, on the road, it's just sometimes you want to pack less. So you're like, oh, maybe. But then when you have the camera, you're like, oh, I can't look bad. So you like have to pick and choose. But people have gotten really creative across the league, from making your own attire, like making it yourself, to just a lot of fur. I feel like that seems to be the consensus.
I've noticed that too. And I'm so here for it.
I don't think I am. I don't
spice
know.
Spice it up a little bit. It's supposed to be fun. I love it. Fun.
I'm unspicy in like every respect, generally.
That is so not true.
Sometimes. What about the shoe game? See, I'm more in the shoe game. Like, are we doing heels? Do we do comfort? Like, because now that Nikes have made a nice little comeback, what's the preference there, Grace?
I see a lot of people trying to do the dress pants with the sneaker, and I feel like that's becoming more socially acceptable than maybe it used to be. Not too many heels, though. I feel like that's not the most comfortable option.
No. Even I've admit that. It's either I go barefoot by the end of the night with heels on. I just need to come to fruition with I need to give up the heels. But
if you want to find some good sparkle boots, I got a website for you guys.
Yeah.
Oh, you do?
Every color. I got you.
Maybe I got to get a purple pair.
Oh, my. That's a great idea. I think they have a purple pair on there, too. Yeah. I'll send a link.
I'll have to go look. Yeah, please do.
She is the queen. Speaking of purple pair, which leads to, obviously, PWHL Minnesota doesn't roll off the tongue as nicely. And I know it's just here for the inaugural season, but that's the one thing fans want to know. If you were in charge of giving your team an official nickname and or mascot, what are we going with?
Okay, well, Taylor Heisey and I have been spending way too much time on this, but we would love the Purple Rain.
Yes,
I think
there's
a play on words with Prince, and I mean, it would be R-E-I-G-N,
yep,
like not R-A-I-N.
Yeah.
But we think that would be great, but every time we get brought up, they're like, oh, trademark issues or like stuff like that. So that would be our first choice, but I don't know if that will go through.
I feel Prince's estate would be like, absolutely yes, sign off on it.
Agreed. Because I think that's
And it doesn't need to be like Minnesota Purple Rain. It can just be like Minnesota Rain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then keep the purple color.
And like a crown, like almost like the king's old one, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I like it. I hear it. The more I like it. Valkyries has been one that's floated at me a lot too, which I don't. You don't love it? No.
No.
That's fair. I feel like then it's hard to work in purple with the Valkyries too, because I just think of Valkyries like the Vulcans with the red.
Yeah.
Yeah. Grace is like, please never bring
She's
that
like,
up again.
Maybe not that one.
Literally any.
I also
that's
heard
like, your
like,
last place.
Someone said the Breezers, and I was like, no.
No.
Because like in Minnesota, I guess we're the only state that calls hockey pants Breezers, and I was like, no.
Yeah. I got torn apart for that one time because I was talking to my Canadian friends. They're like, what are you talking about? And I was like, everybody calls them Breezers. They're like, literally no one calls them Breezers. They're hockey pants. And I was like,
see, that's weird to me. If somebody called them hockey pants, I'd be like, that's too formal. Like,
yeah. Or I'm thinking sweatpants. I'm not thinking like protective gear.
Yeah. Well, absolutely. I think of like Cooperalls for hockey pants. Those are hockey pants because they're pants. They go all the way down.
Yeah. Like the Hurricanes wore and the.
Yeah.
Formal.
You know? Yeah. That makes way, way more sense. On the topic of PWHL Minnesota, how has the team been doing? Obviously, you guys are tied for first right now with Montreal. Really, really good season, but there's a lot of competition. I think everybody was so used to the Whitecaps being so dominant, right? Let's be honest. And knowing how much talent for women's and girls hockey here in Minnesota is, but it's been really competitive league. What's been the biggest surprise, or which team has been the biggest surprise for you, whether they're tough, and how excited are you for the way that the year has been unfolding for you guys?
Yeah, I think there's so much parity across the league. Like you look and you're like, oh, they won tonight and they lost. And like, you can't even keep up with it. It's just, and those games are so low scoring that it's like no team's blowing anyone out. And I think it'll be, you saw that the playoffs, it's like the first seed gets to pick who they play in the first round and all these crazy rules that go with it. But I think you'll see such a strong push up until the last few games, because like from top to bottom, it's only a few points away, which is awesome for the sport. And I think you'll see in the last handful of games, that's only going to be the case as well.
And from a fan's perspective, too, you mentioned all of the different things that the league's incorporating, such as first seed getting to pick who they're going to play. And it's one thing I've really loved that the PWHL has done with just kind of changing things up a little bit, especially like if the opposing team scores on the penalty kill, then it's over. So as a player's perspective, what are your thoughts on all that?
Yeah, I think it's super exciting. I mean, like you talk about the jailbreak goal or just the increase in physicality, and there's so many new dimensions to it while still playing hockey. And I think it's exciting for us that are playing, but also for the fans as well, and just keeps it engaging for everyone.
What do you think of the playoff format? Do you love that? Like, I love it. I can see it just can be really another way to stick it to somebody, you know, because you might look at it and be like, who do we pick? Do we want the cupcake or do we want to really ignite this rivalry? Like, that's just really fun for me. That opens up a lot of possibilities.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's an interesting question if you're the first team that's picking or if you're on the opposite side and you're the one that potentially could be getting picked. Because I'm like, if I'm getting picked, I'm like, oh, that just makes me that much more mad. But I guess we'll see where we fall at the end.
Yeah. That's fair. I think that's absolutely fair. You mentioned the feistiness too. I freaking love it. Like, I've always watched girls hockey. I know that's always been there. There's always been a physical element to girls sports in general. The consensus that it's not there is just people obviously have never watched. But it is. It's taken it up another level in the PWHL. Why is that, do you think? Is it because all this really elite competition is finally together? Or what has been kind of the shift from even college to here or from past professional leagues too?
Yeah, I think some people are a little unsure of what's getting called, what's not getting called. So people are just going to go until something gets called. And I think as soon as one person starts doing it, you're like, I'm not just going to take it and not do anything back. So it's like a two-way street. But I think each game's kind of different in terms of what they're allowing and not allowing. Mm-hmm. That I think people are just like, oh, I'll just do it until I have to stop.
That makes sense. I personally love it. And another question that I get constantly from fans, and I already kind of know the answer, but I would love for you to say it, is the fact that you guys have full cages or bubbles, right? But that's because women's and girls hockey, that's how you grow up playing, right? So if you were given the choice, would you say, yeah, no, we'll just go a half shield or we'll open up our face? Or would you say, nope, I'm going to keep the way this is because not only have I played this way, but also I have a face that I would like to not get smoked with a puck?
Someone actually just asked me that, and I was like, I like my teeth too much to have it in a half shield. And someone was like, you guys don't control your sticks like the guys do, so I'd be just swinging it around.
Oh.
But I'm in fan of keeping the cage.
Yeah.
Not sure if that's the popular vote, but that's my opinion.
That would be my stance, too.
Well, right, and it would be weird, right? It'd give you a new perspective if you all of a sudden didn't have that. I have to imagine it'd be a totally different feeling.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. Is there truth to the stick swinging? I've never noticed that, I guess, but is there an element that I guess I hadn't considered?
People that, like, grew up playing boys hockey are more familiar with it. They're like, you guys just don't keep your sticks as controlled as they do, so there'd be more chipped teeth and just, like, marks all over the face, but I guess so.
Interesting. I played one game, Grace, of hockey in my entire life just a month ago, and that was the big thing. I was like, just keep my stick down, because I was scared I was just going to smoke somebody that was actually trying to play. I was just out there trying not to be a pylon, but here we are. This is true. Final question before we let you go. What excites you most about the future? Where do you see PWHL in the next 5 years or the next 10 years? Again, this inaugural season has been absolutely exceptional, and to see continued growth with new sponsors and new partners and all of that, as well as the girls game continues to grow. What does the future hold?
Yeah, I think there's so many exciting things, and it's like, you look at last night, for example, we have 4,500 fans there roughly, and I think in the next 5 to 10 years, that will only increasingly grow on a nightly basis. And it's like, you've seen the 19,000 fans that Toronto and Montreal had, and that's something that's like certainly achievable on a nightly basis. I think that's the biggest thing. But then I think also just the professionalism. I mean, it's been great from this first year, and I think in terms of treatment and all that stuff, it's only going to grow as well.
Perfect. Well, again, you can catch Grace and PWHL Minnesota in St. Paul for the next couple weeks as the regular season starts to wrap up. Thanks so much for the time, Grace. Appreciate you.
Thank you for having me.